All right, it's been a little while since I did a ham radio. Oh man, it looks fucking windy outside. Shit. I built up some songs that I've been meaning to play, but also I kind of want to chronicle this ridiculous point in my life. Where I'm, well, here I am in the stairway of my apartment building. Always smells like weed, but that's a lot better than the fucking elevators that always smell like piss, because I don't know why, but people continuously piss in them. It's fucking ridiculous. But that's the big news. I'll be out of here soon. I love the location of this building. It's fucking amazing. It's right by the St. Lawrence Market in Toronto. I'll never live this central ever again. But it's not worth it for my particular circumstances, sleeping on a couch and not having my own room, constantly lending money to my roommate that I'll never get back. Ah, shit, okay, now I gotta try to zip up my coat with one hand. Yeah, there's so much crap. What do I get to? How do I explain this all? Alright, so. Yeah, moving in with Craig from Valcantown, Robocop Craig. It's the same price. It's a little further out, but I like the neighborhood. It's by, like, Dufferin. I like being out there in Parkdale. It's more or less, it's a little further out than where my house was that burned down, but I liked it out there. Ah, what the fuck. So now I'm just whiling out the month, and it should not be a problem for my stupid roommate to get a new roommate. She just needs to stop being a fucking princess who expects someone to sleep on her couch. So she needs to split the apartment in half, move some furniture around, rent out the room. Because it's a fine deal in that sense. I mean, it's right downtown. It's right by Ryerson University. People would do it, you know? She's just got to get her shit together. She's got a whole month. There's really no reason this should be a problem. And even though she owes me over $1,000, I just was like, forget it, strike the debt, whatever, keep it. Just want to get the fuck out of here. So that's good. I'm doing this with one hand because I sprained my arm super bad the other day. It was fun. I was out at PodCamp Toronto. It's this podcasting convention where they have free drink tickets at the end of Saturday night. And there were a lot of tickets to go around, so I was pretty drunk. So me, this guy Brian that I met one time before, and Picard, also from the Vine Countdown, we found like this patio table with a bunch of chairs strapped to it, and we were just pushing it through the snow. And then I surfed on top of it. It was pretty badass, but I tried to jump off and do like a ninja roll. But I guess I was a lot more drunk than I thought I was, and I knew I was drunk, but it was the least graceful thing, people tell me. It seemed okay from my perspective, but they were like, good lord, man, you just kind of flopped onto the ground. And, yeah, I could tell later that night, I was in crazy amounts of pain. Like, you know, in a first-person shooter, in a video game, when the guy gets shot and he'll go like, ooh, ooh, ah, and make little noises like that? I was doing that. Just anytime I moved my arm the wrong way. And then every dream I had that night was about my arm being hurt and going to buy bandages and stuff. So now it's three days in, I guess, and it's a lot better. I can grip somewhat with my one arm. I still can't make it, I can't bend it out straight. It has to stay curved, like at an angle all the time. But also, on top of that, oh man, a couple of days before the spraining, I got this really bad pain in my gut. I thought it was just like weird gas or something. And it's gotten lesser, but it's going away extremely slowly. It's been like 5 days now where it's like in my lower abdomen on the left side. There's this one little underneath my belly button, but to the left of that, where it's just this little point about the size of a quarter where if I press it, it really hurts. And then it hurts whenever I got a fart or I got a shit. It's something with my intestines, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how this stuff is. Is it some kind of hernia? Some ulcer? I don't know what these things are. I really should go to the doctor and see someone, and I'm going to have to in the next day or two, because it doesn't really seem to be going away. But now it's like awkward. I got this stupid sling also. It's like, yeah, no, this isn't about that. It's about another thing. But I really got to do that. And on top of all that, I just have no money left, because I lent my damn ass roommate like $150 earlier this month, and right now I got $9 in the bank. I know this always happens, but as soon as I get out of this apartment, I'm sure it'll start being easier to keep my fucking finances in order. And I'm pretty much out of food. I should have borrowed $20 from Brad when I saw him yesterday. But I'm gonna go to the grocery store and should be able to get some soup and fucking bread and stuff. Just, I hate having that little amount of money, like $9. Like, what if I don't have any kind of overdraft stuff on my account? So it's like embarrassing if something goes wrong and it doesn't go through. And it's not even enough. You know, I gotta have $20 to get any money out of the bank machine. Bluff. But spring is in the air. Moving to a new place. Gonna get everything sorted out. This is getting ridiculous, you know? Just fucking, I'm falling apart this month. It's fucking stupid. So, let's listen to some music, shall we? When me and my friend Brad saw the band Mother Mother a few months ago, there was this woman opening for them named Hannah Georges. She had this one song in particular that I loved so much that I jotted down some of the lyrics in my phone so I could look it up later. And I ended up not being able to find that song, but I found her album, This Is Good. And on it, there's another song I like a lot too. It's called Lover's Breakdown. And I've been listening to this song a lot. It's good. I've been getting some of my musical kumbayas out because the other show we've been doing, the Vinyl Countdown, vinylcountdown.ca, that I do with a bunch of the guys I know here in Toronto. I'll throw a song on at the end, so that helps get some of the songs out of my system that I would normally play on ham radio. But this song, it's just for a show about a bunch of dudes sitting around talking, it's, you know, not really appropriate. It's not very cool, you know. It's girl music, but it's a really good song. I like this song a lot. So this is Lover's Breakdown by Hannah Georges.
Back at your feet, oh, it's a game.
I was just at the library, and it's weird how, with video games, the idea of, like, nudity in a video game was crazy when I was little. There's just no way. And then when I was, like, a late teen, early 20s, for the GameCube, was this really shitty game called BMX XXX, where it was just, like, a BMX game that wasn't very good, but then you could unlock, like, clips of strippers and stuff. And I remember I bought a copy just because I was like, I wish to support this phenomenon. I want boobies. It's awesome. But it all just kind of happened all of a sudden. I mean, now games have swearing and tits, like, all over the place. No one cares. I mean, a little bit. I guess they've got a rating system, you know. Kids aren't supposed to be able to buy Grand Theft Auto and stuff. But it's kind of neat how it just happened. Like, it just seemed like this impossible barrier for North America. We're so fucking opposed to nudity and swearing. And then it just sort of happened. It's like, boom, look at that. I like that. I like when things just kind of happen like that. Like, it's not a big push, it's not a big fight, it just... The world just kind of changes. Lickety-boom, bam, boom, bam, zhoo-da-ba-boo-ba. But what I noticed in the library was that same kind of thing has happened with comic books, where comics went from these little monthly episodic pamphlets to now it's way more about books, it's way more about collections of stuff. Every bookstore has a comic book section. A lot of university courses, they'll toss a comic book in there. You know, usually something historical, Mouse or... what's that one? Palestine, stuff like that. So also, just kind of by accident, comic books just kind of grew up. I mean, back when I used to work at the comic shop, which is... over 10 years ago now, but I was the guy that knew all the indie comics and the black and white shit. And now it's just kind of comics. Even the dumb Marvel and DC, like, superhero comics are a lot more grown up than they were. But it's kind of weird too, because in this library, it's a pretty small branch of the library, so there's just a little section for comics. And they just toss everything that's a comic in there, even stuff that just shouldn't be in there, like... there's nothing like Preacher, you know, just like flat out hyper offensive. Just stuff like the Hernandez Brothers stuff. They mostly do these like slice of life comics. They've been around forever. They're real famous in the comic world. Slice of life comics about, Jaime does his about sort of contemporary California. And Gilbert, it's more South America type stuff. But yeah, there's tits all over them. You know, people get naked at the drop of a hat. And they just toss these in with the comics with all the kids' stuff. It's just weird. But it's cool, too. It's just like, I don't know, maybe it's just that no one noticed. Maybe it's just that no one cares, you know? Maybe this is how things change. People just can't be bothered. They just don't have the time to give a shit that a kid might see a drawing of a boob. I like it. Seems like the world's relaxing. Anyway, here's another song. This is Julianna Hatfield just put out an album. Really stripped down, really simple songs. And this first one is called Peace and Love. Very nice little, easy, quiet, cool tune that I like.
Takes too much energy. It's such such a waste of time. Falling off a listening line. I just gotta get back up. Stop waiting on apologies. Everything will happen if it's meant to be. I won't give up.
Well, that was pretty fun. Vinyl Countdown Mike came downtown. I just hung out with him. He bought me a nice foot-long sub and a coffee. And then his friend Carl showed up with some chick he was dating or hanging out with or something. We all hung out at Tim Hortons, drank coffee, chatted about shit. It was good times. Plus, now I got food in my belly, which is awesome. Because, I had $9 in the bank, but I just checked and I actually have $4 now. I assume because it's a new month, banking fees must have been taken out. $5 left, I guess. But nothing, basically. I'm really out of groceries. It was shitty. But that kept me from just eating noodles at home for one more meal. It's weird because when I was talking to my mom yesterday, she said she's going to put some money in my account. My poor moneyless account, but I guess she didn't get to yet. And then it'll have to clear as well. Anyway, she kinda, I don't know, see, I've been feeling guilty that I haven't gotten a job in some time now. So I asked her, because she's basically been paying my rent, I'm just like, just want to make sure this is okay, like, you guys aren't in the poorhouse, right? You know, just want to make sure nothing catastrophic happened in my absence. But no, she said they had a really good winter, made tons of money. And she kind of, in a way, sort of encouraged me not to get a job. Because when I move out to Craig's place in the west end of town, it's just a way cooler neighborhood. If I do work at like a coffee shop or something, it'll be way cooler out there because everything downtown is just corporate and shitty. Out there, it's all the cool, like, little places. But then my mom was like, yeah, but you know, once you get one of those jobs, like, then you're stuck. You're stuck going there. And I think the implied message was, like, why you want to do that to yourself, you know? You're a 31-year-old man with many talents. Why you want to work at a coffee shop? Why you want to do that? So I guess the message isn't, don't get a job. It's like, don't get one of those jobs. Get a real job, man. Get your shit together. But I thought that was kind of nice, because that sounds like the kind of thing I would tell my kid. Just like, you only live once. You want to spend it working behind some counter somewhere? It's bullshit. And luckily, coming from affluence as I do, it's not like my family is like the richest family in the world, but they're doing okay. So it's like, considering these circumstances, why? Why waste your time with this? And it's true, I should be working on my Roger Swan documentary or something, not working at a movie theater or some stupid crap. Holy fuck, this weather's getting cold, man. This wind is killing me. Alright, what song am I going to play? I'm trying to think, what songs that I have lined up? God damn it, come on. What songs was I going to play? Well, let's play. Okay, I dug up just randomly. I was thinking of Marilyn Manson's album, Antichrist Superstar. I used to love that album. I haven't heard it in forever, so I gave it a quick download. And I remember the song Worm Boy. I never really dug that much back in the day. It was one of my least favorite songs on that album, but... But listening back, I don't know, for some reason I really dug it. It's a weird little silly song, but I don't know, it kind of, I guess some of the hyper-aggressive Marilyn Manson songs don't speak to me as much as they used to. Some of the really dramatic ones, you know, the Reflecting God or Irresponsible Hate Anthem. But this is just this little weird song called Worm Boy. And yeah, I don't know, it just reminded me of those days when I was a teenager, when I was in high school. Marilyn Manson was really a cool thing, you know, it really did, in a way, sort of speak to me. Not a crazy amount, but some, you know, some certain kind of teenaged disassociative angst that it was kind of, did a good job of expressing. Alright, this is Worm Boy by Marilyn Manson. We'll be right back. I'm sitting right now in the food court of the TD building at Bay and Front, or Yonge and Front in Toronto. It's a fucking amazing building if you know Toronto. Like, you go inside and it's got this big arched ceiling. It's amazing looking. It's like a set from a Batman movie or the Da Vinci Code or something. And the food court down here has this Starbucks that I've been using a lot lately because, man, people aren't shy at all about just swiping this internet. I saw some Asian kids with their laptops out here the other day just playing StarCraft. So I stop in here a lot. I guess soon I won't have to, because when I move in with Craig, I'll have my own internet. But there's things I'll miss about being right downtown, stuff like this. And the whole downtown is connected by underground malls that I don't use much because I don't like being in them, but it's still kind of cool. Seems very Canadian just to have an underground network because of our frozen culture. So I'm just downloading a podcast. I'm going to play the band SNFU, the punk band from Edmonton that moved on to Vancouver, and I guess they're basically defunct now. This is a song of theirs called Cruel Reminder that I always liked a lot. It's about a kid in high school that gets a crush on his teacher, and it doesn't go well. And it's a really good little tune, so let's listen to that. I'm just still finishing up down here in the food court. I just saw a little tiny mouse go by because it's pretty late now. It's 10 at night. All the stores are closed. Half the lights are off. But it just kind of stays open. I don't know how late. This whole underground path thing. Maybe all night. I don't know. It's weird that it's not surrounded or like overtaken by homeless people. But I think part of this is just the socialist wonderland that is Canada. Everyone just kind of just fucking behaves, you know? Super nice down here. You can walk all around. It's like that game BioShock. It really feels like that. It's everything's so fancy, but nobody fucks with anything. It's all perfect and beautiful because we're Canada and we're awesome. We don't wreck shit. Anyway, yeah, I just saw this little mouse go by, a really small little mouse, kind of a cute little mouse, not like these gargantuan rats of New York that look like goddamn raccoons. Yeah, he just went and ran under this one Starbucks table and then another table and then kind of away. And I wonder, first off, I don't know what the hell they're eating down here because it is so sterile. I mean, it's a food court, but I don't see no food. Maybe they can get into the garbage somehow. But I wonder what the lifespan is for a mouse down here. In some ways, it seems like it would be a pretty sweet little life, especially in the winter because it's freezing outside. But, I mean, this place can't be this clean and immaculate by accident. I assume if they find a mouse, they don't hesitate, the janitorial staff, to kill the shit out of it. Anyway, I'm going to play this Linkin Park song. I remember when Linkin Park first showed up, I just out of hand was like, fuck these guys. They just seem like, you know, a shitty radio version of a, like, metal, rap metal band. And I mean, I was into that stuff, the Limp Bizkit and the Korn and everything. But Linkin Park seemed like a fabricated version of that type of thing. But then after their second album came out and then the remix album, I heard enough things that I liked that I went back and checked them out, and I learned to really respect what Linkin Park does. It was by the books back then, very formulaic, but really good, just really well done. It's just, they're a good band. I like them. But then they put out a third album, Minutes to Midnight, and it was just really wussy. You know, they're trying to break out of the old mold, and it wasn't very aggressive, and it just, I liked like two songs off it that were the ones that were most like their old stuff. So, then they put out yet another new album, just came out this year, last year. And this time they're really stretching, they're really trying not to be like their old self, which is cool. I mean, it's fine. I'm glad when bands try to stretch out. But this one is weird as shit, this album. It's got all these songs where it's like they just told the bass player to go fuck off, and all these little sort of high-end dance shit that reminds me of like early 90s, I don't know, like shitty dance festival stuff you'd hear in England or something. Like, just really, what a weird album. But I didn't really give it much of a chance. I just downloaded it and then I just went through and deleted each song as I decided I didn't like it. And basically by two passes through, I only had one song left. This song called When They Come For Me, that's really cool. I really like this song. It's like, it's this weird, just tribal rhythm, basically, and it's just a rap song. But it's just really cool. This is the kind of direction I would dig more, I guess. I think they really moved away also from just the rap side of things in general. Slipknot did the same thing. They had a bunch of rap on their first album, but, you know, it's such a late 90s thing that they want to move away from it, but it's still just some of the best shit, you know, and it's a shame that these bands don't do this stuff anymore. Oh, that reminds me. I got to download. There's a guy sent us a letter to the Vinyl Countdown, recommended this band. Hollywood Dead, I think. I got to download that right now before I forget. So here's a little rappy song from the latest Linkin Park called When They Come For Me that I like a lot. They did a live version on Saturday Night Live also. You can look it up on YouTube. Fucking cool.
said an Uzi weigh a motherfucking ton. And I'm just a student of the game that they taught me. Rocking every stage and every place that they brought me. I'm awfully underrated, but came to correct it. And so it ain't mistaken, I'ma say it for the record. I am the opposite of whack, opposite of weak, opposite of slack. Synonym of heat, synonym of crack. Closest to a peak, far from a punk. Y'all oughta stop talking, start trying to catch up, motherfucker. And all the people say,
you know, one thing that's fucking lacking down here is water fountains. Holy shit, I'm so parched. I need something to drink. I'm close to home, though. I'm gonna go home soon. I just started downloading Hollywood Undead, the band was called, so I just grabbed one of their albums. Give it a listen. Later. But while I'm playing rap songs of dubious merit, you know, I really have the worst taste in rap music. I don't know shit about it. I like terrible rappers and guys like Jay-Z that everyone agrees are awesome. I just never got into. So after my Linkin Park rap song, now I'm going to play, even worse than that, I'm going to play an Insane Clown Posse song. I'm a little bit behind on the Insane Clown Posse, so I was listening to their, after the Wraith, that was the album, the Six Jokers Card, their big finale sort of album, where they admitted that they were religious and they followed God and what have you. They did another one called Hell's Pit, where... Or Shangri-La was the first side. The Wraith Shangri-La was about if you're a good person, you go to heaven. Like, it's total Christian mythology. It's not anything real new going on with the Insane Clown Posse's stuff. So then Hell's Pit is if, you know, you're a jerk. And at the end of the day, there was like three songs that I really liked. Why don't I play two of them? I know there was Burning Up is what I'm going to play. It's just this... It's not a great song or anything, but I just got stuck in my head somehow, and I really like the chorus, where it's so weird for Insane Clown Posse, where it's this song, really straightforward, really simple, just about shitty people that are going to hell, but then when the chorus hits, it's all kind of strangely calm. They're burning up. I get that guy's little voice stuck in my head. Fuck what you're telling me, burning up. The witch keeps selling me, burning up. It's about this thing called The Witch that's a man for some reason that's a, the album in general. It's like a bad influence metaphor guy. So I'm also going to play The Witch song, which is just this really weird little piano beat. Something is standing in between me and my sanity. I don't know. I just like Insane Clown Posse. They're catchy. They're funny. Silly. I don't know what's not to like. But I know if I came in late like everybody else, you know, if I only heard about them through SNL skits and stuff, I would also be like, haha, fuck that stupid band, most likely. But maybe I would go back later, like I did with Linkin Park, or like I don't know. I try not to just judge things because of what other people think. And I really do like the Insane Clown Posse. I just do. I think they're good. So here's a couple Insane Clown Posse songs. If you don't like them, fast forward, you know, 6 or 7 minutes, and then I'll play something else that you'll probably hate. Because I said, wake the dead, wake the dead, wake them.
Bitch Rochelle fucked on her boyfriend in her boyfriend's bed, and Crazy Carlos smacked his baby mama off in the head, and Jonathan beat his son like his daddy beat him, but swore he'd never do nobody like his daddy did him. And then Sandra used a pussy hole to get to the top, and baby D, he shot somebody, it went bad from the drop. And then Diane worked at a hospital, took care of old souls. She was abusive, her afterlife sees no gold roads. And Mr. Richards was a richie fella, born with every penny. Everyone around him hungry, but he never gave him any. And his Stephen was a businessman, an educated citizen. At the top, pornography of children in his laptop. Take your spot and hang out, cause it's crowded in hell. You in the belly of the beast, now it was heaven and jail. And don't try to make no friends, cause don't nobody got no tongues. If the witch look your way, somehow it crushes your lungs. Blair Blair was a boss man, calling out shots till he caught one, then everything stops, the floor drops as he's screaming and falling. We see how pointless was the ballin' when eternity is calling, agony will be appalling. Don't cry for the dead, cause they cry for you, because we laugh about an aftermath, but they know how true. And listen, ain't no fucking body getting it worse than you and me, and ain't nobody getting it worse than you and me, and we will see a pterodactyl swoop through the caverns of hell, and carry two unfortunates off to the ogre cell. And ain't no cards playing cards, ain't no uniforms needed. You the only one around but naked, bloody and bleeding, with seven demons in your ear, got you believing you're heaving. Talk you into pulling out your own intestines to get even. You were born with the shine, but you lost it down the line. You fuck life up and you can't rewind. Fuck what you telling me,
burning up.
The witch keeps selling me,
burning up.
Since we burn them up,
they keep turning up,
and we turn corrupt
till we burn.
Judge Shaw was a judge, snake holes are his eyes. There go another judge, somebody despised. And there go so many judges, the judges in hell. So many fucking judges in hell, they bludgeon a well. Fat Pat, like his daddy, was a bigot pulling duty. He can tell it to them gargoyles fucking on his booty. And Shauna like money, but mistook it for love. Now when the witch's wings spread, she give them head and look above. Black Sunday's Armageddon, maggots and rape. Hell's Pit got some fire for you faggots with hate. Eddie Burrow hit his wife and put a tooth in his knuckle. Later on he lost his life in a scuffle, now he in trouble. You was a rebel, you nobody no more. To the devil on the double you go. Ain't no level to the trouble you know. And eternity goes, and eternity goes.
Fuck what you telling me,
burning up.
The witch keeps selling me,
burning up.
Since we burn them up,
they keep turning up.
And we turn corrupt
till we burning up.
Fuck what you telling me,
burning up.
Clutch, I was frozen with fright. It went on for what seemed like I was a tear. To see the witch's face there in the dark in the mirror.
The witch told me my girlfriend was a demon. And all this falling in love shit I'm dreaming. And it's pain to the angels if I don't deliver. I sealed her off in a barrel and rolled her in the river.
The witch told me my left arm is possessed. So I broke it at first and then I went and confessed. But they put me in the home, the arm still wouldn't leave me alone. Finally had to chew it off with the bone.
The witch told me to crawl under my house and just wait. Don't panic if I suffocate. I bit the tail off a possum down there at one point. It's so boring and it's dark, but the witch is my light.
Just a dream of infinity.
I said, wake the dead, wake.
It's nasty and wretched and hell of a bloody, but it's gotta get done and somebody's gotta do it. I kick the fucking face in and put my knife through it.
The witch jumped on me again, here we go. Laying in my bed, I can't breathe anymore. Laying in my bed, I can't move anymore. There's a demon floating in my face, clamping my jaw.
The witch told me I gotta murder this one kid. Okay, well maybe the witch didn't then, but I did. With a ninja suit, crept through like a black widow with a crossbow.
Stuck him in the neck like ditto.
The witch told me about blood that rains out of the neck in one particular veins. And I bought murder witness and death setting in. And it ain't no heaven that's letting me in.
Put my feet in the fire and hold on until everything below the knees gone. Now I'm in a wheelchair with only an arm, but don't care. I can still throw my hatchet in the air.
The witch got me in a predicament, it ain't good. I got somebody head posted at my hood. 4:30 a.m. and we rolling through the ghetto. Shaggy riding shotgun and the witches in the middle.
So it's in the middle.
Running out of batteries on this thing, so let's do some more real quick before they die off. This is a band called Gallows that I first heard because when I was in Montreal last summer, not this last summer, but summer before that with Ian, they played it in our hotel room on Musique Plus, the French Much Music, which is a good little music station, way better than our shit, or at least it was back in the day. And this is a cool-ass punk band that I liked a lot, so I downloaded some of their shit, and this song is just cool. It's just a cool song that they did, so let's listen to that.
Yourself.
Man, I'm getting so desperate for liquids that, you know, those, everything taps now, you never touch them, you know, you just wave your hands underneath. And I was trying to drink out of one of those, like, okay, wave my hands. Now, put my head down, try to get some water, and it's like not even a steady stream, it's like 8 little streams. And then it would turn off, because my face wasn't activating it. So again, I'm like, wave my hand, try again. Did that 2 or 3 times, but it's just sad. There's got to be a water fountain down here somewhere. I'm going to walk the path briefly and see. Here's a song by the band Beulah. This is called Don't Forget to Breathe. It's real good. Wow, the floor waxer guy is going by. They're getting crazy with the cleaning right now. So yeah, Don't Forget to Breathe by Beulah. This is a super good song. Kind of reminds me of the last song on Mother Mother's second album. Just similarities in the lyrics and stuff. Cool song anyway. Let's play it.
Tomorrow I'll wake. It makes no difference.
Mother Mother song I mentioned that the Beulah tune reminded me of is called Sleep Awake, and if all went well there, I just played it as well, probably in a live version, maybe. I don't know. See, as I record this, I'm downloading some shit from YouTube without having listened to it, so who knows if any of it was good enough to put in. Alright, I'm still getting my battery low warning, so let's just finish this up. Oh, can you hear how dry my mouth is? Looks gross, right? God, I need a drink. I'm gonna die down here. Okay, this is a band called Morcheeba, and I think, I don't know where I heard this from, so it's probably that show Misfits again, the UK show about superheroes. Really good show, I recommend it highly. It was Kyle and Newsy from New York kept talking about it on Twitter until I was like, fuck man, I gotta listen to, or I gotta watch this show, and it was totally good, and it has awesome music. So I grabbed the album that this song was on, and I don't think, I mean, I only listened to it once, I didn't give it much of a chance, but I don't think anything else really stood out to me, just like this one song. And even this one song, it's a little up and down, it's just not the kind of thing I usually like, but this one song, it's cool enough, it's good, called Lighten Up, kind of a nice little tune, you know, nice way to finish things off. So that'll be the end of this episode of Ham Radio. Thank you for listening, I'm glad there's still some faithful out there that still dig these music shows I do. Thank you very much. Because, well, XO is the one that gets all the downloads. It gets a lot of downloads and a little bit of feedback here and again. Whenever I do get feedback, it's pretty amazing. Like, a guy claimed that I helped him decide not to kill himself because of one of the XOs. Like, that's pretty badass. Like, imagine if that's true, you know? Maybe he's just exaggerating or something, but what if there is a guy out there who would be dead if I didn't make those shows? That's pretty badass. And then the Vinyl Countdown is the silly comedy show I do with a bunch of my friends, and it gets a lot of mail, tons of mail from weird stoners that can't spell. Doesn't get a ton of downloads, but it gets a lot of feedback. So Ham Radio, this is my longest running show, and it's kind of forgotten a little bit. It doesn't get a whole lot of downloads or a whole lot of feedback, but sometimes it does. There's always someone who's excited when I put up a new one. They're like, fuck yeah, right on, a new one. Like, this is still my favorite thing you do. So to those of you who think that, thank you very much. I appreciate it greatly. You can go to keithcourage.com to check out all my shit. And that's it for today. Here is Lighten Up by Morcheeba.